The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's something to be said for the age of modern convenience. As I listened to my boss droll on during our Zoom meeting, I thumbed through various items on Amazon that I didn't need to buy, but felt compelled to buy. I had multiple orders on the way, and the highlight of my day had become receiving text alerts from Amazon with a little photo of my package leaning against my doorframe, the black arrow on the box greeting me with a smile. It was a feedback loop I'd come to rely on. Speak of the devil, my phone buzzed with the delivered alert. I had gotten a yoga mat and some other items for my apartment, and more were on the way. My boss broke through my consumer haze.
Martin, can we expect that report by the end of today?
I had completely forgotten about the report. I unmuted my mic and said, Yeah, I need to add a little more to it, but I'll finish it up before I leave today. There was a gentle murmur of laughter. I was working from home, so I wouldn't be exactly going anywhere. Well, you know what I mean, I added. Working from home continued to blur the imaginary boundaries I struggled to maintain between work and personal life. Now, there wasn't much of a distinction between when I was on the clock or off. My desk space, where I would play video games and browse the internet, had become the same place I'd take Zoom calls and respond to passive-aggressive emails. Thankfully, I had a work laptop that helped me mentally separate these activities, but I knew I would be working late, far past when the office would typically close. After all, I was already home, wasn't I? The end of the workday didn't exist anymore. I muted my cell phone and forgot all about the package waiting by the door for me. I finished cobbling together my report by 10 p.m., and by that point, my brain was so shot that I decided just to watch some TV and go to bed early. It wasn't until I grabbed my phone to charge it that I noticed that I had received 6 notifications from Amazon. I swiped to expand the text. They were all for the same package, which had already been delivered. Confused, I thumbed over to the track package screen and noticed that multiple pictures had been taken from the same package and sent as updates. The light in the background of the photos had faded, and by the time the last photo was sent, it was dark out, and my porch light was illuminating the package below. "What the?" I whispered. I couldn't fathom why the delivery person would keep swinging by my door to let me know that my package was still sitting there. I hadn't noticed before, but by the last photo, the package was oriented differently, as if the delivery person had nudged it closer to the door. I didn't know whether to feel impressed or creeped out by the delivery person's dedication. I did live in a large apartment complex, and it wasn't unusual to see Amazon trucks coming and going at all hours of the day, but I never received more than one notification that a package had been delivered, let alone multiple photos of the same delivery. I quickly explained to myself that people were probably ordering more things than usual during the cold winter months, so Amazon had been more vigilant about packages being stolen from doorsteps and went heavy on the notifications so they didn't have to worry about resending stolen or missing packages. It didn't explain everything, but it did make enough sense for the time being. I peeked out the window by the side of my front door. It was dark out, and I couldn't see much at all. I opened the door and found the corridor empty like a graveyard. No one was there. I uttered to myself, "Bloody freak," and closed the door. I plugged my phone in so it could charge and slid into bed. I must have been almost dreaming when a text alert on my phone woke me up. I reached over to my nightstand and felt a pang in my chest as I looked at my phone. It was another text from Amazon. When I thumbed over to what had been delivered, it wouldn't say. The field had been rendered blank, but I could see a picture of a yellow mailer envelope leaning against my door. The photo quality was low grade, but the package looked a bit dirty for some reason. I was beyond perplexed. I had never received an update in the middle of the night before, and couldn't believe that was standard Amazon procedure. Maybe the delivery guy was legitimately high. Reluctantly, I got out of bed and walked to my door. Just for safety, I looked through the peephole and again saw no one on either side. After a few seconds, I opened the door, found the muddy envelope lying on the floor. I picked it up and pulled the crooked flap open to look inside. The hallway light above my head caught the glint of something, and I could tell that it was at least dark in color. I turned the envelope upside down and let whatever was inside tumble out into my palm. I took a closer look and violently recoiled as I understood what I was seeing. They were teeth, bloody rotten teeth. The kind you see as a result of giving bad oral hygiene. Yes, that's what they were. The envelope was full of them. So many, in fact, that I doubt that they came all from one mouth. What I had mistaken as mud on the envelope was dried blood. I stifled the urge to vomit and grabbed my phone to call the police when my eyes went to the end of the long corridor. A man stood at the end while staring at me with huge, ferocious eyes. His eyes were glassy blue and could stare into your soul. He shouted at me, saying, "Do you know how much hard work it takes to deliver packages door to door? Listen, dude." "No, you listen. Even after a tiresome day, I cared to wait for the safety of your package. I kept on texting you as it lay unprotected in the open, outside your door, but you were so busy living your pathetic life. And in return of my favor, you called me a freak? Do I look like a freak to you? You're asking me this after leaving rotten teeth on my doorstep? Those belong to the people who insulted me so far. I made them pay because they didn't appreciate me. And now it's your turn." "What? What the hell are you saying, man?" But before I could get my answer, the man took out a knife from his back pocket and started to come at me full speed. It happened in a wink, and I got inside my apartment and went to close the door. The psycho was so fast that before I could lock the door, he inserted his arm into the gap as he tried to stab me. But I was no easy scare either. I slammed the door hard on his hand and a cracking sound took place. He screamed in terrible pain and the knife fell out of his hand. Blood sprung out from the broken bone, which pierced out of his skin. I could see the white bone filled with a grayish bone marrow cutting his flesh and splattering blood all over my wall. The man was definitely a nut job, because even though he was beyond hurt, he still didn't budge. Not having any other option, I hit him in his wound with my elbow, and his partial hand broke down swinging like a tattered piece of bloody cloth. Finally, he let go and removed his hand, and I double-locked my door. "Leave now, or I'm calling the cops on you." "I'll be back. No one has ever lived in peace after insulting me. I'll be back soon." I I could hear him leaving as his crazy laugh faded away. I have complained about Amazon, and they have reported this man to the cops, but no one has been able to contact him since that night. The cops are still looking for him, and I only hope he never shows up at my door again. I haven't shopped at Amazon for a while. That goes without saying. There's a person at your front door. I opened my eyes and glanced at my nightstand. My phone was buzzing with a notification. According to the alarm clock, it was 3:03 a.m. I reached for the phone, still half asleep. There is a person at your front door. My Ring doorbell camera was active. Something had set off the motion detector. Well, someone. A face filled up my screen. I didn't recognize the man. He was pale, eyes were wide, lips were thin, wearing a baseball cap over long hair. The stranger slipped off camera for a moment, and I got out of bed, moving carefully so I didn't wake up Susan. There was a bat in the corner. I grabbed that and a flashlight from the nightstand, then headed downstairs. I heard a scraping sound from the other side of the front door. Taking a deep breath, I held the bat close.
"What are you doing out there?"
I called out. The sound stopped. There was a long silence. I became excruciatingly aware that I left my phone upstairs.
"Just a delivery," the man responded eventually. "Amazon."
"It's 3 in the morning.
"Sorry to disturb you."
I heard footsteps, then an engine starting. I peeked out of the window. I saw a brown delivery truck pull out of the shared parking lot between our townhouses. After a few minutes, I opened the door, and there was a white Amazon package with a familiar smiling logo. I brought the box inside, then locked and deadbolted the door. This package wasn't for me. It was the wrong name and wrong address. What the hell kind of Amazon guy makes deliveries in the middle of the night? I asked myself, shaking the box. I decided to put it back in the mail the next morning so it could be on its way to the right address. The same Amazon truck drove through the neighborhood a dozen times over the next week. I saw the driver making his rounds at all hours of the day. He wore the same jeans and faded hoodie constantly. The man was thin, a little on the short side, and he walked with a manic energy to his step. I'd never seen a delivery driver so excited to be on his route. He seemed to be most active late at night. More than once, I'd peek out of the window to see him standing close to the neighbor's door, fidgeting, then dropping a package roughly on the welcome mat. The first murders took place the next weekend. "Terry, come over here," Susan called from the living room. I was in the kitchen making us dinner. My wife mentioned for me to join her at the window. I noticed the red and blue flashing lights before I reached her. There were 3 police cars in our parking lot, as well as an ambulance. Uninformed officers swarmed around the townhouse, directly across from our own. While we stood staring, paramedics wheeled out a stretcher carrying a black body bag. A second team followed with another gurney. On this one held one of our screaming, twitching neighbors.
"Jesus," Susan whispered. "Is that Mrs. McCourt?"
It was hard to tell from the distance that with our view blocked by the cops, but the woman on the stretcher looked an awful lot like her elderly neighbor. Her blanket was covered in red stains. Something had torn up her face and neck, ripping her cheeks open to the bone. The skin hung in wet flaps. While I couldn't be too sure, it appeared like one of her eyes was gone, leaving nothing but a raw socket.
"Do you think it was an animal attack?" Susan asked.
"I don't know."
"Can you ask your brother?"
I sighed. You know he doesn't like talking about ongoing cases. It could get him into trouble with his captain.
"He doesn't need to give you all the gruesome details. Just ask him if the police know what happened. If it was animals, a dog, or something else."
"I'll ask," I promised. It wasn't an animal attack.
My brother filled me in on as much as he could. I thought about you and Susie when I heard the call come in. Tommy told me over the phone. When I heard the address, I knew it was right by you. Awful. Brutal stuff, man. They found the husband tied up on the kitchen floor. He'd been stabbed a dozen times, and then his throat slit so deep, his head nearly came off. The wife was alive when the officers got there, but she was a mess. Somebody had been cutting on her for hours, even took one of her eyes out. Good Lord, I whispered. How is she doing? I'm afraid she died at the hospital. There was nothing they could do to help her. Too much blood loss. I heard my brother hesitate. Look, with this being so close to you, I gotta ask, did you see anything at all? Anything suspicious? According to our timeline, whatever psycho did this probably broke into their house in the early morning and really took his time. There were no signs of a forced entry, so we think they might have been someone the victim knew. Do you know if the McCourts had any enemies or disgruntled family members? Troubled friends? No, Tommy, sorry. We didn't know the couple that well. All right. Well, if you think someone targeted the event, I don't doubt there's any danger for you or Susan. But keep an eye out for anything suspicious, just in case, okay? Sure, Tommy. The second I hung up, a face floated up to my mind. The thin Amazon driver in the hoodie and the ball cap. I shook my head. Amazon drivers were everywhere. Who could be less suspicious? The next murder happened at the townhouse, only two doors down from ours. It was a few days after the McCourts died. I woke up to the sound of sirens. This time, instead of watching from the window, I went downstairs and stood on my porch. The parking lot was full of police. An officer started heading towards me immediately, notepad in one hand and a flashlight in the other. It was dark outside, even with the glow of the street lamps. Before the officer brought me back into my house to take a statement, I got a good look at the neighbor's house through their window. I wish I hadn't. The living room was one big, slick bloodstain. Our neighbors were three college students sharing the townhouse. Two guys and a girl, I think. It might have been a couple and their friend. They were nice. We always exchanged good mornings when I was out walking the dogs. All three seemed like good kids. Somebody had decapitated the trio and swapped their heads around, then duct taped them back on different bodies. Their stomachs were sliced open, with the inside bits pulled out and left on the rug in wet purple-gray piles. I just made it downstairs into the bathroom before I threw up. We don't like using the term serial killer this early in an investigation, Tommy told me when I called him the next morning. But I understand that it's alarming for you all. Five murders in two households right next door? It might be time for you and Susan to take a trip away for a while. I was looking out of my window at the parking lot. There was crime scene tape right next door, and more of the yellow and black tape across the lot at the McCourt's place. But that wasn't what had my attention. There was a familiar brown delivery truck parked a few spaces down at another townhouse. I watched the driver standing at the person's door, lingering far longer than he needed to. He dropped the package carelessly on the porch and practically skipped back to his truck. Do you remember when you asked me to report anything suspicious? I asked Tommy while I reached for a pen. There's a license plate I think you should run. I jotted the number down of the truck as it drove out of the parking lot. The driver and I made eye contact before I left. He smiled and tossed me a little wave. They found the driver with his truck parked near a local McDonald's later that afternoon. Tommy filled me in on the details the next day. It was bad, Terry. The worst I'd ever seen, my brother told me, staring down into his coffee cup. You saved some lives by noticing the Amazon driver. Except the man really wasn't a driver for the company. His name was Alfred Ward. It looks like he murdered the actual driver and stole the truck about 3 weeks ago. He even disabled the GPS tracker, so it's been off the grid. Alfred's been dropping off the packages to incorrect addresses every day since. See, that was just an excuse to get on every doorstep. What Alfred was really doing was taking impressions of the locks. That's why there was never any sign of forced entry. He made keys and let himself in. Alfred, he had a key to your place, Terry. We found it in the truck, along with more than a dozen others. And we found the other driver. Or what was left of the driver, I should say. Alfred got hungry, I guess. Took a few bites out of the guy each day. Tommy's hand was shaking as he took a sip from his coffee. The driver's arms and legs were stripped to the bone, Terry. Gnawed on, like an animal got to them. And the worst part? When we took Alfred in, he was smiling. He looked so happy when he opened the trunk and saw all the blood. I didn't say a word in reply. I just paid the bill for the breakfast and left. My first stop was the hardware store. I needed to change the locks.